Welcome to this edition of the Dog Show Podcast with Rex and Lab. We have not yet completed the opening round here at Shinnecock for the 126th U.S. Open. It wasn't because of storms. It wasn't because of high winds. In fact, it was a two-hour fog delay, Rex, early on Thursday morning. That is the reason why we still have a number of groups still out on the golf course. But we do have a couple of significant developments that have happened so far this afternoon. We're going to get to the leaderboard, which I think is stacked with some pretty intriguing names. Wyndham Clark has actually staked himself to a four-shot lead at this point with two holes remaining in his opening round. He had come back at 6:30 a.m. on Friday, finished those two holes with a little bit of time, and then tee off for his second round. Let's get into the setup, though, because that was really the big talking point on Wednesday with the USGA really trying to preempt what was an awful forecast with some storms, 40-mile-hour gusts in the forecast. How do you think the golf course played, particularly in sort of the lens of what we were anticipating?
It was a little bit flipped in the afternoon, and it was led by Wyndham Clark. I mean, he has a heck of a round. And you look at the players in the afternoon who had made a run. I look specifically at Dustin Johnson, who seemed to be heading in the same direction. He got it all the way to 4-under before he stumbled a little bit. But everyone except for Wyndham Clark came back to the pack. I think Wyndham Clark is the outlier here. He still has two holes to play. He just tapped in for his par on his third to last hole. I will say everything, all of the angst that went into this setup, we all know what happened in 2018. We all know that happened the last two times the national championship has been played here. You have to give John Bodenhammer, the chief championships officer for the USGA, credit for doing
a monsoon of credit or just a modicum of credit.
I was trying to limit the use of that word, because I think I've been told a couple times that I use it too much. You have to give him credit, because it would have been really easy to do what I think other setup men have done in the past on this golf course and maybe push it too far trying to protect this institution. And he went the other way. I think if anything, maybe he erred on the side of caution. They watered the greens between the morning wave and the afternoon wave. They clearly put pins and positions on the greens. You can't tell this because you can't read a heat map, but they put them in spots on the greens that were as user-friendly as possible on these greens. They dialed green speeds back to 10.5. Haven't been that slow in three decades at the national championship, all in an attempt to make sure that we weren't having this conversation about they didn't finish play because of unplayable conditions because of that awful forecast. Instead, it was your run-of-the-mill average fog delay in the morning that has us hung up. However, you have to give the USGA credit. I mean, this is the exact setup that he wanted. He didn't get everyone around, but I think it's a fair test when you look at the scoring average. But when you also look at the scoring average, at least for the morning wave, it was the hardest course on the PGA Tour this season statistically by two strokes. So we can sit here and say, yes, he got it right. It was a friendly layup. It's still difficult.
I'm sure there are people who have been watching this afternoon who are disappointed by what has transpired here at our national championship, particularly if you're watching in the morning. And I was out there. I walked nine holes with Scottie Scheffler, Roy McIlroy, bouncing back and forth between those groups. It was brutally difficult. We may not have gotten the 40-mile-an-hour gusts. I don't think we would have been playing golf in 40-mile-an-hour gusts. It was about 30, 35 miles an hour at times. It was a little bit chilly. You had the fog that rolled in with the two-hour delay. That softened the golf course as well. I think this was proof, Rex, of how difficult it is to really – dial in a weather forecast and have a corresponding golf course setup to that forecast. We didn't get the storms. We didn't get as high of winds. We actually did not have the wind strength. We actually had a shift in wind direction after the fog blew through, a completely different direction that we were anticipating as well. And yet I still think I'm in agreement with you that the USGA erred on the side of caution and they nailed the setup. Wyndham Clark is playing spectacularly well. If you removed him from the leaderboard, all of a sudden we're looking at a boatload of guys who are at 2-under par, which, again, feels right with some of the changes that they made, whether it was the green speeds or whether it was the hole locations or whether it was the syringing of the greens, not just before the round but also in between waves as well. And so, yeah, as it stands right now, we have an incredibly dramatic split between the early starters and the late starters. As it stands right now, it's about a stroke easier for those who started in the afternoon. Keep in mind, that was the wave that was supposed to get absolutely screwed by what was happening. We were supposed to have the strongest winds from 2 to 5 p.m. Instead, at times, and particularly as the afternoon wore on, it actually laid down as the afternoon wore on.
And to be fair, most of those players, all of those players from the afternoon wave, have to come back and finish their rounds. Wyndham Clark just has two holes left, but there's groups on the 11th hole right now. So that sort of factors into this. It's going to be a degree of difficulty if you did play in the afternoon, even if you didn't get those wins. But you're absolutely right. It was supposed to be late, early was the one that was going to take it on the chin, and that doesn't seem to be the case. These things have a tendency of working themselves out, though. I think when by the time we get to Sunday, I don't think we'll be talking about how lopsided the draw was, even if it's Wyndham Clark.
I don't know. It does feel like, I mean, it's always a talking point, the Open Championship, and this is as open of an Open Championship as you could possibly get. We were walking around earlier. It's linksy. It's breezy. It's a little bit of a guesstimate with some of your shots, and certainly on the putting greens, trying to factor in the break and the wind as well. Like this actually might be more of an Open Championship than what we're going to get next month at Birkdale.
But as I look at the leaderboard, Rory McIlroy, Ludvig Åberg, Ryan Harmon, Ben James, who's playing phenomenal golf, they all played in the morning. If they're not on the leaderboard come Sunday, I would be surprised, is my point.
You'd be surprised why?
I would be surprised because they're all playing well. They play very well in the most difficult conditions. Normally, when we're talking about these huge spreads, then you have virtually nobody from the more difficult side of the wave. We have plenty of players from the morning wave who are on the leaderboard right now.
Rory McIlroy, we're going to talk about his round in a little bit as well. Let's talk about Wyndham Clark, because he has been obviously trending in the right direction, broke through it a big way at the Nelson, going absolutely ballistic, shooting 60 in that final round, popped up a couple of other opportunities as well, Memorial, even last week in Canada, a tournament that you were covering as well. So he came in here with a lot of good form. Are you surprised that he's sitting here 6-under? Maybe not surprised.
Yeah, I think I'm surprised he's 6-under.
6-under. Yes. Surprised that he's leading this golf tournament.
I'm not surprised he's leading the golf tournament. I'm surprised anybody made it to 6-under. I would be shocked if anyone makes it to 6-under by the end of the week. This is still a very demanding test, regardless of all of the things that we just said that John Bodenhammer and the USGA did to make sure this was a fair test. But you look at what he has done recently. The breakthrough at the Nelson was incredible for a player who had really been struggling. Go back to last year's Open. I don't know if they fixed the locker at the golf course.
Do you think the golf gods are going to let Wyndham
Clark, stole my line.
Wyndham Clark, who destroyed the locker room at Oakmont, had to apologize? Was he sincere? Was he not sincere? Do you think a year later they're going to let him hoist his second U.S. Open trophy?
I wouldn't think so. The golf gods are usually pretty cruel when it comes to that. But even last week at the Canadian Open, through three rounds, I think he was the one everyone in Canada was looking at, thinking that, yes, he's the one that's going to get this done. Now, he struggled on Sunday and ended up fading a little bit. But I look at what he's doing well right now. He's T4, strokes gained tee to green. And we've talked about this being a second-shot golf course. I think that's important. And he's flat-out leading the field in strokes gained putting by a good margin. So he's doing the two things you have to do really well around this golf course. Again, got the easier side of the draw. I'd like to see what's going to happen tomorrow morning. Does it come back to the pack a little bit? Because if not, you're looking at a very high bar for the rest of the field to chase the rest of the week.
Yeah, he made that putting tweak ahead of the Nelson, then went absolutely ballistic after that golf tournament, made some changes. And look, I think there's probably going to be some fans who do not want to see Wyndham Clark win based on his behavior over the past year plus. It's a little bit childish.
Has he turned into a black hat?
I don't know, because I don't think he
stumped you with that one.
I don't think he wants to be the villain. I think he genuinely wants to be liked, but he can't help himself with some of the mood swings and behavioral issues. I don't think he wants that sort of tag on him.
You're right. I would say a player like Patrick Reed liked the heat. He likes being that person. He likes playing that character on the golf course. And I think when it comes to Wyndham Clark, he's just being himself. I don't think he sees himself as the bad guy or a black hat. However, I will say last week in Canada, there was an interesting situation when he donned the American hockey jersey in the middle of the rink hole, in the middle of the round. And he started getting the boos. And I will say he fed off those boos. Like, he liked the moment. And after the moment, he had to step out of his persona and say, I wasn't trying to be offensive at all. I was just trying to celebrate what the American team did at the Olympics. But I think there is an element of him that does like it.
Yeah, I think he's a little bit of a pot stirrer, I guess, in that respect. But I will say the Wyndham Clark that we've seen, at least over the past couple months, is a pretty stark contrast. And maybe people change, and maybe they're just – I think Wyndham Clark in general is just happier. You know, he's made a number of significant changes. He's changed caddies. He's added a swing coach after going it alone for 3 or 4 years at that point. He has a new woman in his life as well. He's very happy off the golf course. We know how that tends to percolate and produce – on the golf course.
Someone just asked in the chat. They were just joining. Everyone did not finish. Actually, no one from the afternoon wave finished.
I mean, we have dozens of players who have not yet finished at this juncture. We have about 17 players who are under par at the moment. To put that in historical context, just three players all time in U.S. Opens in Shinnecock have finished under par. So I guess that leads me to this next question is, what do you expect the USGA to do from a golf course setup standpoint for the rest of the week? Again, John Bodenhammer, the USGA setup czar, was literally pained while having to say that he was going to make these changes in advance of the opening round. We were anticipating that Thursday was going to be the worst weather of the week. And so at this point, do you think they're going to let the golf course go? Or do you think they're going to continue to be a little bit cautious?
I think there's one more day of being cautious because you still have 156 players. You still don't want a disruption. You could still run into the same issues he's been trying to avoid this entire time. You and I have been at this golf course now for 3 days before today with all the pregame things that we were doing. It was hot. It was windy. You could see it.
Oh, yeah.
It's not hard for this golf course to get pushed over the edge. What you saw on TV today was green and lush and not exactly what we're used to seeing when it comes to Shinnecock Hills. It wouldn't take much. So my guess is he treats Friday just like he treated Thursday. He sticks to his game plan. He keeps it on the softer side. And then on the weekend, he pulls it back a little bit.
I would completely agree with that as well. I do not think they're going to finish the second round on Friday. That's going to bleed into Saturday because we have so many finishers where you have 156-man field. It's slow. It's windy. You have a lot of players who probably, quite honestly, have no business being in the national championship. They don't want to embarrass them as well. I was actually very, very surprised. At last I looked, there was only three players who shot rounds in the 80s on Thursday. Well, you also had, besides Wyndham Clark, about 17 players who were under par. That was a very surprising mix to me because you and I were anticipating carnage. You and I were anticipating Armageddon. I think that is certainly a testament to the setup being a little bit more benign, not going too over the top. But also, I think, Rex, this golf course was softer than a lot of players were anticipating. It was shocking to see 30-mile-an-hour downwind holes, and yet you were still ripping some shots backwards with backspin. I do not think that'll happen on the weekend, but I'm with you. I still think it's going to be pretty safe on Friday, just so this golf course does not get out of hand. That is not all that atypical from what you see from major championships or even the best and toughest setups on the PGA Tour. There tends to be a crescendo as you get to the weekend. Mm-hmm. It's just been the USGA's mantra and attitude and mentality to have a US Open setup for the duration of the week, even starting on Monday. That is incredibly difficult to maintain for four tournament rounds.
And of course, like this.
And that's why you've seen over the years that they don't just push it up to the line. Occasionally, they go over the line, and that's where the reputation stands.
And I think on this particular front, he has been so kid-glove with this. He's made sure that ever since we got here on Monday, this wasn't the Shinnecock Hills we remember from 2018 and beyond. This was green. This was lush. And I think he has that luxury now going into the weekend where I can imagine that suddenly he stops syringing, that suddenly he starts rolling greens, that suddenly he's not particularly worried about the firmness of the greens, that he wants it to become the test that he knew it could become.
Yeah, on Friday, we're anticipating winds in the morning about 20 to 25 mile an hour gusts. I think we saw potentially 25 to 30 in the afternoon, if you're paying attention. That's going to be Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler among the afternoon starters on Friday with the wave reversal. Let's talk, Rex, about some of these leaders. And it's a boatload of players. What am I counting? Eight players are currently at two under par, four shots back of Wyndham Clark at the moment. Again, none of these players have finished their rounds. Matt Fitzpatrick with a nice bounce back after being two over early in his round. John Rahm has not yet made a bogey. He sits at two under par. Gary Woodland in the mix as well. Dustin Johnson, as we mentioned, just double bogeyed what at this point was his final completed.
It was vintage DJ.
Honestly, it was unbelievable the amount of confidence that DJ was swinging with. What has been your biggest takeaway of those who are currently in sort of chase mode with Rory McIlroy, Ludvig Åberg among those, as a shot back as well?
I mean, DJ is the one that blows you away because we simply have not seen that. I think we did the math that in the last 3 years, he has, what, 120, top 25 finish in the major championships. He simply hasn't performed it. And we can go to the live golf thing, but I think that's pretty played out right now. I just didn't seem as if DJ had his best stuff over the last few years. And what we saw today, it looked like DJ at Chambers Bay. It looked like DJ at Oakmont. He looked like the player who's won 24 times on the PGA Tour. Now, he fell back to earth a little bit with some sloppy three putts, and that's been his Achilles heel. And I guess the other one would be John Rahm, because we keep waiting and we keep watching and we keep wanting him to perform at his best in these big events. And I think that's what we're getting this week.
I semi-picked John Rahm to win, if you're listening.
I don't remember that. Yeah.
The preview podcast, he was among the five or six players that I rattled off. That was
you can't
to
name
have.
Half the field and I say know. You picked them.
I know. When you look at that leaderboard, Rex, one thing that does stand out is the U.S. Open pedigree. Wyndham Clark, U.S. Open champion. Yeah. Matt Fitzpatrick, U.S. Open champion. Dustin Johnson, U.S. Open champion. Gary Woodland, U.S. Open champion. John Rahm, U.S. Open champion. Roy McIlroy, U.S. Open champion as well. These are players who have understood the challenge you're going to have, the patience that you're going to have to exercise. I don't think it's any surprise. At what is the quintessential national championship that those players have stood out as well? Let's talk about some of the big stars, namely Scottie Scheffler, who was in the house at 2 over par, 72, had a pretty funny moment. Maybe funny for the audience, perhaps not funny for Scottie Scheffler and his swing coach, Randy Smith, on the range, really going over the grip, trying to figure it out. If you haven't seen the video on YouTube, on social media, I strongly suggest that you do so. Where are you with Scottie? And do you think at this point, again, he's 8 shots off the pace, you think that's an insurmountable deficit after the opening round?
It's not the 8 shots that I'm interested in. It's the number of players between he and the lead that probably interests me more at this point. But we're 1/4 of the way in. We're not even 1/4 of the way to the ending. So, no, I don't think my level of concern would allow me to say, no, I think Scottie Scheffler is out of this. I still think he can flip a switch, whatever it is he and Randy Smith were working on. We've seen it in the past where he's gone to the range, he's had these animated sessions, and he's parachuted back in the next day, and suddenly he starts looking like Scottie Scheffler. Now, to be fair, we haven't seen that a whole lot this season, and I think Brandon Chamblee did a really good job. You and I have gone round and round about, give me the stat that shows definitively that this is not the same Scottie Scheffler that we saw last year when he was player of the year and a dominant force. And I think Brandel did a good job of breaking that down the other night. However, we're still talking about fractions. It's not as though he dropped from first in a specific category to 71st in that category. I mean, it's minimal what we have seen. And I still believe that there is a switch to be flipped when it comes to Scottie Scheffler.
We keep waiting for it. If you're looking for one of those stats, that stat to me is fairway proximity for a player who led the PGA Tour over the last couple of years in that statistic. Again, taking advantage of being one of the supreme drivers of the golf ball, if not the best driver of the golf ball since 2022. And yet Scottie Scheffler hit nearly every fairway in his opening round at Shinnecock. I believe, and you're looking it up right now, I believe he hit just 9 greens in regulation, was outside the top 100 in strokes gained approach. Again, for a player in Scottie Scheffler, who is very, very dialed in.
115 in strokes gained approach.
Yeah, that's just very atypical of Scottie Scheffler. When you looked on the range and sort of the gesticulations that they were making with the grip, it was something to do with the release pattern. Obviously, as Brandel pointed out, Scottie's been getting a little bit too steep on the downswing, which has resulted in some of those high right misses as well. It's clear he's not quite as dialed. I have a level of concern this week, and it does seem, I mean, we're getting late early in the regular season here, Rex. Like we have 2.5 months remaining, and Scottie Scheffler sits here still just 1 PGA Tour victory.
Now, it's a big 2.5 months. Like, we have 2 major championships to be played. We have the FedEx Cup playoffs, and there's a lot of real estate still in front of us. But you're absolutely right. If we get to Eastlake in the Tour Championship, and we're still talking about Scottie Scheffler won once this season, and that was at the American Express to start his season, it is going to be a pretty shocking development, given that he didn't seem like he was ready to trip. There was nothing in his life that indicated that he was going to suddenly fall out of form. There were no injuries. There were no off-course issues. There was nothing to distract him. I mean, you had a hard time coming up with a way saying that, how does he slow down? You don't see anything in his future that could possibly do it. And that's why I'm still having a hard time wrapping my mind around it, because you can't point to one thing right now other than these minute changes in certain stats.
It does add up to yet another slow start in the tournament for Scottie Scheffler, who's going to have work to do over the remaining 54 holes. And again, most likely, the weather forecast has been wrong before, most likely going to have the most difficult conditions on Friday afternoon. Let's talk real quick about Roy McIlroy, who got in there at 1 under 69. I saw him for the majority of his round on Thursday. I was very, very impressed. I think it's even more impressive in the context of last time Roy McIlroy played an opening round here at Shinnecock in the U.S. Open. He shot 80, 11-shot improvement. And I really think, Rex, if he can continue to play well, this would really be a fitting capstone to a player who's continually gotten better and fine-tuned his game to be at his best when the golf courses are the most difficult.
And sometimes I think the folks on social media have a point that maybe the rural golf media, we lean too heavily into Rory McIlroy, that he is our
darling. Lean too heavily? He's a living legend.
Well, he certainly is, yeah. Having won the career Grand Slam. But I can see, over the last few years, I feel like there is some pushback when it comes to how come you guys only talk about Rory McIlroy. And the example that I would give beyond
historical
the fact...
Historical figure. Top 10 potentially all time.
Beyond that, I would say, because he opens the door and gives us glimpses that simply put other players don't. And he did that today when he was talking about that opening round last year at Shinnecock Hills. And he said he went back to 2018. And he left here that week after missing the cut by a lot. And he went to the next event, the Travelers Championship. And he said he got to TPC River Highlands and he just felt comfortable. And he realized, this is backwards. I should feel comfortable at Shinnecock Hills, not TPC River Highlands. And it was at the end of that season, that 2018 season, where he sat down and sort of came up with the epiphany that I need to reinvent myself to be at my best when it counts the most. And that's at the major championships. And it took a minute. He didn't flip that switch overnight. He had to evolve as a player. And I think that's the person we see now. And we spoke about this on the Wednesday podcast. If you went back to 2018, I absolutely would not have picked Rory McIlroy as a favorite on this particular golf course. He favored Congressional, where he did win his U.S. Open. Soft, big venues. He could hit the ball a long way, flew it high in the air. No one else could compete with that. But you put him on a particular test like this, where it's brown and it's bouncy and it's asking a very different type of answer. He didn't have an answer for that. That has changed over the year. He's developed the game. He's developed the mental fortitude. He's developed the patience. We saw it at Pinehurst, and I think we're seeing it this week.
It's the ball flight. It's the distance control. It's the short game. It's the wedge play.
Discipline.
It's the putting. It's the patience, sort of hitting to the middle of the greens, putting to the corners, and not being overly aggressive, which I think was one of the hallmarks of his early career. Although Rory McIlroy does not win major championships at the same clip that he did at the early stages of his career, I think it's inarguable that he is a better player now, a more complete player now, and that's why he's still in the mix here. I was also very, very impressed with John Rahm in his round. Mm-hmm. Got a little bit fortunate, a 60-footer on 17, on 18, did very well to get out of there with par after driving into a tough spot. Hit a nice wedge in there tight, and made a 4-footer to save par. At this point, bogey-free in his round with, four or five holes remaining with his U.S. Open record. I expect him to drop anchor and be near the top of the leaderboard for the rest of the day. Before we get out of here, any other surprises to you as it relates to the first round here of the 126 U.S. Open?
I mean, just the forecast. It seems as if, and I think that's sort of the nature of being way out here on Long Island. You're surrounded by water and the ocean can dictate that. But it seems to me that we were bracing for the worst and it didn't get close to that.
And that's perfectly fine with me. It's an outdoor sport, very difficult to judge the forecast and the setup. A couple surprises score-wise. Chris Goddard with the 75. Cam Smith with the 75. I would have thought with everyone missing greens because it was so windy, that his short game would be able to bail him out. Apparently not so. J.J. Spahn, the defending champion, who I liked. And if you're following recent trends with the number 9 ranked player in the world winning of the U.S. Open, J.J. Spahn would have been that player this week. Not so. He got in the house with a 77. All right. That is going to do it for this edition of the Golf Joe Podcast with Rex and Lab. We'll be back on Friday evening for a recap. Again, we are not anticipating the second round of the U.S. Open to be completed. It should be very, very close. We're going to break it down regardless with Rory and Scotty among those who are starting in the afternoon. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the support. We'll talk to you guys on Friday night. Enjoy the second round of the US Open.